a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
How about that? We're back for another week. The program, of course, recorded on Thursday this week and playing back live for you as live this morning. And it's great to have you with us. For another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio, we're going to go far and wide today from Lake Powell all the way to K2. We'll check back in this morning with Jen Drummond. She is back in Pakistan this morning, and I connected with her real early, 4 o'clock in the morning, and it sounded like a terrible weather day back there. But anyway, we'll look forward to sharing that with you. Tim Hughes in the studios of Broadcast House in downtown Salt Lake City. And with us, as always, from the Sky Call compound in Sugar House is Russ Smith. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. My gosh. Waiting for that storm to move this way for a change.
Yeah, you know, we've had some clouds pass over our place out there in West Jordan, but... And we're all standing outside like we're waiting for a good fireworks show that never takes off. We don't mind the clouds and the wind, but because it drops the temperatures a little bit, but we'd like to have some precipitation out of that.
Yeah, it'll come.
We've got more hot temperatures this weekend, too, with triple digits for today, Saturday, tomorrow, Sunday, and again on Monday, Tuesday. But there is a chance, an increased chance, of that monsoonal flow picking up a little bit. Have you had a chance to get out and do much of anything this week besides work?
No, it's just work. This has been phenomenal, the amount of business that's come through here. And
share some of those stats. You've shared them with me, but it's worth bragging about a little bit.
You know, I don't want to share numbers.
Okay.
Because they're hard to understand, but let me say that July is the largest month I've ever had in the last 20 years.
That's all I wanted. But
yeah, there we go.
Percentage-wise, it's a good increase for you. And I think there's a lot of pent-up desire. People just want to get out and go, and it's good that they think to take a sat phone along. I think we've made progress in that regard.
I mean, I just had a call before I came up here to the employee lounge.
Which is the couch upstairs.
I'm in my bedroom now. I put a little office in my bedroom.
Okay.
I don't want to get too much detail here, but a nurse that had a patient to watch over, you know, the weekend and all, and she just couldn't go unless she had a phone.
Oh, wow.
It's simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, that people can't get away unless they have a way to stay in touch.
And it's not always somebody like Jen Drummond who's standing on base camp side of K2 right now, huh?
Man, that's another story. I sent her with a SIM card for a BGAN unit for our friends out there. That's a high-speed internet unit, good just about anywhere on the face of the earth.
That she's going to use as Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah, so she can stay in touch with her kids. And so... she wanted a bigger plan. So I'm working with my carriers to be able to shut off the plan she's on and import a larger plan.
Mm.
Instead of megabytes, she needs gigabytes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
It's just sort of funny, a sign of the times when we're talking about somebody who's trying to climb K2 but needs Wi-Fi service on the mountain. Oh, boy.
It wasn't that long ago. You just write a letter.
Yeah, no kidding. Put a stamp on it, and a week later, after you've already done your summit, you could check in with family. Anyway, great stuff. All right, stand by. Navi's gone, by the way, this week. He's on he's on the road, but Bob Grove has graciously agreed to come in a little early on the program, so he's going to be sitting in with us. We were talking about our desire to have rain here. You guys got too much in too short a time, it sounds like, and from watching the videos, Bob, I was glad to hear you didn't get washed out.
Yeah, we've had some pretty significant thunderstorms move through the last couple of days. They're fun to watch. We're a little concerned about flooding. We have even here on Thursday, we have a flash flood watch that begins this afternoon and goes through tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we're starting to get that buildup like we typically do this time of year with the monsoons. We're hoping that this is a pattern that sticks around for a while, but not all in one storm. Let's spread it out.
Well, and Grant Wayman was telling us this morning there was rain, there was wind, there was hail, there was a tornado. I mean, that wasn't near you, was it?
I haven't heard of the tornado, but boy, we had clouds that looked like they could produce one.
Yeah.
They were dark, menacing looking clouds that came over.
Well, and then I don't know if you guys saw the video, either one of you saw the video from, where was it? Flagstaff, I think. Flagstaff, Arizona, where a car was literally picked up in a mud flow that was going right down the middle of the road and slammed into a truck, and people were standing on their porches just taking video of this thing. It was crazy. And it's a good time to remind everybody, not a good time to be in those slot canyons like we were not that many weeks ago, Bob Grove. There are giant signs as you get ready to walk in there that if there's any sign of rain, you need to stay out of those flash flood areas.
Well, yeah, that's the last place you want to be if these storms come through. And not just overhead, they could be 50 miles away.
Yeah,
that's right.
Bob, I know you saw this. Russ, I don't know. I think you were CC'd on the text that Navi sent of his video while he was fishing.
Yeah, saw that.
He wanted to go on vacation, said he wouldn't be available this week, but, you know, he just can't stay away from being on the show for at least a few minutes. So he wanted to make sure I posted this on our social media. And you'll have to just envision what's going on here. But let me just play the audio for you as he hooks into what turned out to be a nice fish.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I guess footing issues. Oh, my gosh. That's a nice fish.
This is highly edited.
Stay with me, baby. Come on. Oh, baby. Oh, come on. Come on.
He gets hung up in a tree here.
Oh, crap.
Yep.
Stay over here, baby. Come on.
Finally gets it in the net.
Shice.
Shice.
Whoa.
He's even making up swear words.
My foot stuck. Oh, man, it's a monster. Oh, it's 19 to there, 21, 22. He's pushing 23 inches.
Wow. I love that.
It's amazing to me that he can still get excited, you know, about a fish.
You know what?
But he does.
That's the attraction to the guy. I mean, he can repel you sometimes with his criticism or his straightforward talk.
Oh, yeah.
But on the other hand, his enthusiasm is what makes people follow him around. He is the Pied Piper in that regard. And Bob texted me a little bit ago. He said, is this a technique that he teaches in his classes? My response was, I believe this will serve as a public service announcement to not drink and fish. Anyway.
Where did he catch that fish?
He won't tell you, and he didn't tell me when he sent the video. But I know he and Gail have been spending some time. He's played some golf and done some things up there in Portland, Oregon. And it looks like his timing was good because the temperatures for daytime highs are only in the 70s. And when he texted me from the golf course, it was like 65 degrees or something. So he picked a good week to be there. Hey, I'm looking forward to our next two segments because Wayne Gustavson is retiring, which is hard to believe. And, I mean, my entire adult life and beyond, he has been the man and will always be probably the most knowledgeable person about Lake Powell. About the ecosystem down there, about the fishing down there, 45 and a half years he has spent on the job since he first arrived at Wahweap Marina in December of 1975, and he's calling it quits. So I thought it would be great to get him on today, and we'll talk about those 45 years, which will be an educational ride through the history of Lake Powell. But then he's promised to stay on with us and talk about what his concerns are and what he sees for the future of Lake Powell, which with the drought situation right now and the call to always that's always out there to drain Lake Powell, I'm curious to get his take on all of that, too. We'll share a conversation we had with Jen Drummond coming up in our usual Fish Bites segment, because we're going to tap Wayne for a little fishing report from Lake Powell this morning. Kim Hersey is the non-game mammals coordinator from the division. She'll join us to talk about otters today, which will be fun because the population of otters has been on the rise here in Utah. So that's coming up. We'll go road tripping with Bob today. Mark's got the week off. Bear River Lodge is the destination for Roger Eggett. And then our camp spot of the week. Russ, you're going to bring back somebody that joined us on the show quite a while ago be a part of the conversation.
Cassidy Inglin. I just got a note from her yesterday that they need phones for their trips into the Uintas. And I said, hey, while we're at it, why don't you come on and visit with us? Tell us again about your program and what you're doing this summer.
Yeah, it really is a nice program. So we'll look forward to that coming up as we finish out the show today. Need to take a break. When we come back, Wayne Gustavson will join us next on KSL Outdoors Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Glad you're here today. I am so much looking forward to these next two segments when we reminisce and look ahead with Wayne Gustavson. I mentioned going into the break, 45 and a half years he has been on the job, guys, down there at Lake Powell. He is the man. Since first arriving at Walweep Marina in December of 1975, and we were just talking about some of the memories, Russ, that you and I have. We fished from his boat. This has been a while ago. But you mentioned something funny when we were talking about stripers.
That's right. Wayne was the guy that told me, if you throw any of those back in, I'm going to throw you in with them.
Yeah.
He was trying to reduce the numbers there.
He was. And, Bob, I know your path has crossed several times over these 45 years he's been on the job, too.
Yeah, you know, we've been in the industry so long enough, you're going to meet Wayne at some point.
That's true.
Know, if you're in the business. And, yeah, we've had some encounters. In fact, when I was doing some work for Tickaboo Resort, when I was building their website, the first thing I did was link to Wayne's words. If you want to know anything about fishing, because Tickaboo down at Lake Powell, if you want to know anything about fishing, just click this link. That's where you go to get all the information.
Yeah. I don't want to date you too bad, although we've already done that, Wayne. But you started, as I mentioned, in 1975. Is it true that the lake was still filling up at that point?
Oh, absolutely. 1975, it didn't fill until 1980. So I had 5 years watching it grow up, and that had an impact when it filled on the fishery.
Wow. So you've literally watched the growth of this lake. Take me back to your thoughts, because at the time you were 28 years old, fresh out of college. Did you have any idea how long you might stay on that job?
No. A 28-year-old starting a job, he doesn't know what he's going to do. But as I went through year after year and got more experience in Lake Powell and enjoyed it more and more and more, I just couldn't give it up. I mean, it's the best fishery in the world.
Yeah.
And I was so lucky to be there and just try to direct things in the right direction. And I was lucky to make a few choices that maybe wouldn't have been made otherwise. And it turned out to be the best thing that could happen for Lake Powell. So I'm proud of my history and the opportunity I had to be there.
Well, it's one of the great fisheries in the world because of your leadership and your vision on that. I read an article that was in Deseret.com a couple of days ago, and they were flashing back to when you first proposed an increase on the limit of striped bass. I'm sure you got some pushback on that.
Yes, when I got there as a kid in 75, I was told that, okay, these stripers have just been put in. They're going to go up river to spawn, just like salmon, because they live in the ocean. They go up the river, they spawn, and then the young fish swim back down into the lake. So they won't reproduce or provide that many fish for Lake Powell because it's such a long lake, and that's not going to happen. But since I was here and the one doing the sampling, I figured out that, wow, these fish are not doing what was told to me by my superiors. Like one day, a neighbor up the street came down to talk to me, and he said, do you think those big fish down by the dam are stripers? And I said, what? Let's go look. And so he took me down to the dam where he worked, and I looked over the edge, and there's a school of 50 fish, look like 5 to 10 pounders, all stripers. Wow, these fish are not in the river. So at that point, it became obvious to me that spawning was going to occur lake-wide, and the information I had was not going to apply to Lake Powell, so I had to figure out what to do.
Mm. Yeah. Part of this story, this article I was talking about, guys, and Russ and Bob, this will give you an idea of the impact that this man had on the fishery. On his own, at the end of 1982, he introduced 800 smallmouth bass into the waters. Today, the estimated smallmouth population, 10 million. And by the way, that's alongside the 15 to 20 million stripers that call that lake home. Russ, you remember this when we were there that day. We were pulling them out, and it was just like they were run off a copy machine. Every one of them was 5 pounds. And we were over near the dam. And on every cast, we were bringing in these stripers. What an amazing day that was.
That was. We pulled out of there two large coolers, the large ones.
Yeah.
And after I got dried off, after he threw me in, he did.
Yeah. There is a move now, Wayne, to get all those stripers out of there. And, boy, you have been screaming that from the mountaintops.
No, not all of them out there. What I want to do is balance the population so it stays healthy and strong. And so if we don't harvest enough fish, that means that there's not enough forage for all of the fish to grow and be strong. So if we have a school of 1,000 fish below us and we take out 800 of them, that still leaves 200 to go into the next year and provide more forage for those 200 that are left. They spawn, and they have a great – each striped bass spawns 1 billion fish.
Yeah.
And if all of those survive, that's a lot of fish you have to deal with. So I said, let's take the limit off those fish and let's manage by harvest so we can keep the population in balance.
You related a story, and we've got to take a break here, which we'll do, and you've graciously said you'll stay on for one more segment with us. But you related a story of the many memories you have down there when you and a friend caught 92 stripers in 2 hours. 92 in 2 hours. And you said that would mean that from early spring to the end of December, you caught like 997. So you did the average over 45 years. And that means that you caught by yourself about 45,000 stripers in 45 years. That's a lot of fish.
It is. It's just kind of maybe a little bit broad, but I have caught 1,000 stripers many years. And harvesting these fish is so fun. And particularly in the wintertime when I caught the 92 fish, because they're a schooling fish. They were down deep water near the bottom. You drive around with your graph, you look down and say, oh, there's a school of stripers below. So you drop spoons to the bottom, dig them up and down, start catching fish after fish after fish.
Yeah.
And as long as that school stays under you, you can continue to catch them.
That is great stuff. All right, we're going to take a break. News is coming up on the half hour. I want to look ahead at what your big concerns are, because you've always been an optimistic guy, what you see for Lake Powell going forward. And we'll talk more with Wayne Gustavson coming up.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.